Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening, Lord, and this opportunity to come and together here, Lord. And we ask, God, that you be with us now in this portion of the service, Lord, to bring the word, Lord, to open understanding to you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to turn on our Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're speaking from this chapter of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians tonight. Paul says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the glory of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of a glory that excelleth. For that which is done away was glorious, but much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Amen. You may be seated. First of all, what Paul is pointing out here when he's talking about the ministration of death and being the word was written in tablets of stone, and then it was later written on parchment with ink. But during the administration, the ministry of Moses, if you recall reading in the scripture, that Moses, when he would go in to the presence of God, when he would come out of the presence of the Lord with the word of the Lord for the people, the glory of God was so upon Moses that Moses would have to veil his face to the people. And what Paul goes on to say, that actually speaking about the Jews, is who he's speaking about, that even to this day, when they read the Old Testament or the scrolls and that, it's still veiled to them. They don't have a revelation of that those things that they're reading has been fulfilled. And Paul goes on to say, but we know when the Lord, after the coming of the Lord and the bride is caught away, and then when Jesus goes to revealed himself unto the Jews, that then is when that veil will be taken from their eyes, and they'll realize then that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But then, Paul is speaking about them in here, but Paul it starts us off and actually concludes this, speaking about the bride of Jesus Christ. The bride of Jesus Christ, actually through the ages, which we know the church ages began with Paul. And so when he's speaking here, the very last verse, he says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." Now, that word glass in the Greek is actually the same word for mirror. So it's saying that we actually behold ourselves as it were in a mirror, and we are beholding the glory of God. And now, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2. I want to go to this scripture to open this up and further explain what I'm drawing from this tonight. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, beginning reading verse 6 through 8. "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, this, we know, is speaking of Jesus. And what it's speaking of is that God, when you look at this word here where it's talking about, he took on the form of a servant. That word form in the Greek is actually the word in morphe, which that word in morphe is actually referring to a form by which a person or thing strikes the vision. It's the external appearance. And what Brother Branham drew from this was that he likened it to God, in other words, God taking on different forms is what this is talking about. That God, you know, he was in the form of God, then he comes in the form of a pillar of fire, and then he comes down. And remember when Moses wanted to see God? And so God took him in, and he had Moses stand in the cleft of the rock. And then Moses looked, but at that time, God wouldn't show him his face. So Moses looked, and what he saw looked like to be the back parts of a man from looking at a man from behind. And so it was a form that God was in. We realize that when God came down and met with Abraham there and sat with him, and God had two angels with him. And it was God, it was Almighty Jehovah, but he had took on a form to come down and to actually speak with Abraham. And so God, this word, he'd taken on a form of a servant, he took on the form of man. It was the Almighty Jehovah. It was Brother Branham preached the message of Mighty God unveiled before us. And so it was the Mighty God that came down, and what he did, he just changed his mask. He changed his form. He changed the mask or the veil, what he was being veiled in, and at one time veiled to the children of Israel. He was had veiled himself there in the tabernacle, and then we find that God was veiled in the pillar of fire, and then we find that God was, he was veiled in the cloud, and we find that God came down, and then through the ages, God actually veiled himself in his prophets. And then coming on down, And you look at that there was no man, no matter what man that God veiled himself in, none of them were perfect because they were men. So it didn't come down to perfection till it come down and he took the form of man in that of Jesus Christ. And so it was actually, Brother Branham likened it to, he said, like a Shakespearean play, where he said there would be, you know, maybe one actor would play like two or three different characters within this play or drama. And he said, what it is, he says, it was the same God all the time. It was just God changing his mask. God changing, he was the character of Moses. He was the character of Elijah. And, you know, but it was the same God just changing his character, the character he was playing in, changing the mask. And so, you know, and so then God, from the time that he came down in the form of Jesus Christ and took on in the form of man, then we find that God then changes his form because back into the form of the Holy Spirit. So that, for what purpose? So that he can come back in the form of men and women, so he can come back in the form of his bride. And so, you know, so Brother Adam said, now since Pentecost, he's now acting through man. He's, and it's acting through the bride. Now, we realize, friends, look, we are beholding God not behind a veil today. He's not veiled. You know, God veils himself. He keeps himself hid. You'll find this out. It's mentioned in the very next chapter that we'll cover potentially next Thursday, that he says, if our gospel's hid, Paul says, it's hid to them that are lost. So God, he does hide it from the unbeliever, and he's hid today. But God, friends, he has come in the form of his bride, and he's come in the form of his word, but not just a written word, and not just a word that you can play off a CD. But as Paul said, we are written epistles read of all men. And so it's that we, what it is, it's God in us, his spirit in us, that is actually living out. That's the word. Brother Branham said, what we need today is, what we need is, we need an opening of the word that lives. Now, we realize that God coming to unveil his word and to in this last day. And we know there was a promise that in the voice, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the mysteries of God would be unveiled. And we know that God has done that in this day. But this unveiling, it wasn't just so you could hear it on a CD. It wasn't just so you could read it in a book. It wasn't just so you could read it from the Bible. It was so that God himself could come revealing himself through his bride today. We know that he came and he revealed himself through his prophet. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke, Jesus says, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And so we realize, or it says the appearing of the Son of Man. And so we realize that Brother Adam said, look, there's an appearing and there's a coming, and they're two different things. And so what happened was God came down. And Brother Branham points this out. What does this scripture mean? Where it says, as it was in the days of Lot. And you know, and we read that and we think about Lot, and it actually mentions that Lot was down in Sodom and fire and brimstone rained down out of heaven and so on. And it says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. But Brother Branham points out, and he goes, but now wait. There was two that went down to Lot. He said, but as it was in the days of Lot, talking about the days when Sodom was going to be destroyed, you realize, he said, but there was one that stayed back there with Abraham. And he said, and that one that stayed back there with Abraham said, he had his back to the door of the tent where Sarah was inside. And he said, he read the thoughts and intents of Sarah's heart and said, why did Sarah laugh? And realized that Sarah didn't laugh out loud. She laughed within herself and said within herself her thoughts. Me, an old woman, and Abraham, an old man, and me have pleasure with my Lord. And so Brother Adam said, so here he was. He said, this was in the days of Lot. God stood there with his back to the door of the tent and told the thoughts of Sarah's heart. And then Brother Adam stands there in the one message, and he says, he turns his back to the audience. And he begins to, as we know, he would call people out, tell them their name, tell them where they were from, tell them what sickness they had in that. And so he was doing that, but this time he was doing it without looking out at the congregation. He was doing it with his back to the congregation. Then after he did it, he turns back around and says, is this not the same God that came down and stood there by the door of the tent before Abraham and told the thoughts of Sarah's heart? And what was he pointing at? He was pointing at the fulfillment of Luke 17 and 30. The revealing of the Son of Man in this day. You know, and of course there's people that have went off into left field with it, you know, and said, well, you know, that God has already come. You saw all the coming of God you're going to see. There is no more coming. He's already here. He's already present. Friends, look, yes. But Brother M said that was actually the appearing. But God has come in the form of the revealing, the opening of the Word. Revealing himself from his Word to the people, the bride today in this last age. Today, the Word is manifest in human vessels. Look, friends, people, there's so many around the message, they're constantly pointing at that God coming down and veiled himself in the prophet, Brother Branham. He did. That was how that the seals were actually even opened. But that wasn't, you realize that Brother Branham, after the opening of the seals, then he goes into Christ in Mystery God Revealed, and he tells you what really God's purpose in it all was. It wasn't just to come down and reveal himself through the prophet, be veiled in the prophet, but he was wanting to be introduced to his bride, that he could come and veil himself in the bride of this age. And, you know, they talk about the voice, the voice, the voice. Well, I'm going to tell you something, friends. The voice isn't gone. And the voice isn't confined to CDs and MP3s. The final voice to the final age, that final voice is the same voice that spoke through the prophet, but now it's speaking through his bride. Remember in the book of Revelations, right there, I believe it's the last chapter, where it says, you know, the prophet says come, and the bride says come. And Brother Branham pointed to that, and he said, look, the bride is the final voice to the final age. So that voice, it was the voice of God. Not the voice of Brother Branham. It was the voice of God through Brother Branham. Brother Branham, he said, look, he says, he said, the angel that told him, the voice came and said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your ministry forerun my second coming. And so we find that he said, as John the Baptist introduced, what was his message? To introduce Jesus Christ to the people. And that was the same message that the commission that Brother Branham had, was to introduce Jesus Christ again to the people. Now, why would Jesus Christ need to be introduced to the people again? Because the word and the revelation of the word had been lost. Men got the Godhead all mixed up. They got water baptism, how to baptize. They had it all messed up. They had it all messed up. What was the evidence of the Holy Ghost? They had all these things, what was it? It was a man-made organizations, and they just confused it all up. So that's why Jesus Christ had to be reintroduced to the bride in this age. How was he reintroduced? Not introduced in a man. Introduced in the revelation of the word. That seventh angel messenger in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. The mysteries of God would be finished. So that voice, and it wasn't the voice, you know, you say, well, the voice of the seventh angel. But who was the voice of the seventh angel? It wasn't Brother Branham. It was God through Brother Branham. Look, when you go back over the seals, every night, you know, Brother Branham starts out with each seal, and you know, and he covers this, and he covers that, and he covers this, and then after he's preached a little while, then he says, you know, only the Lamb can come and loose that seal. And then after Brother Branham would make that statement, then the next thing you know, here he goes telling you what lay under that seal. Now, of course, there are people, I guess, still today around this message that believe that only six seals were open and the seventh seal was never opened. But you find out that if you go back over the seventh seal right there at the end, you find out that Brother Branham says, oh, he catches it. And he says, oh, I'm afraid, I hope I haven't said too much. He said, the devil can't know what this is. What was he talking about? He can't know what's happening. I'm going to tell you something, friends. The seventh seal was the plan of God. The seventh seal was actually Jesus Christ. If the Lamb of God hadn't come down and spoke through the mouth of the prophet, none of the seals would have been opened. When John looks and he's looking on there at the seventh seal, and remember, John writes about seals 1 through 6. John writes, and of course, yes, it's all in symbology. Symbol form. But John looks on at that seventh seal and he says, I started to write. And he said, see thou, write it not, but seal it. What was John seeing? John was seeing that seventh seal was the opening of the seals. It was Christ coming down and actually masked himself in his prophet, the Lamb of God, and loosed the seals. Now look,
It had to be the Lamb of God, because Revelations 5 tells us he was the only one that was worthy to take that book that was sealed with seven seals. He was the only one worthy to hold that book. And Revelations 5 tells us he was the only one worthy to loose the seals thereof. Now, watch after the seals are preached. The seals are preached there in what is it, March of 1963? Go watch all the messages from there on. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham, in 1962, Brother Branham was pointing at the things, what the angels had come to him and what was going to happen, and God telling him his ministry was about to change, and it was all pointing at, you know, the taking off of the capstone. It was all pointing at the opening of the seals. But after March of 63, when the seals were opened, then watch those messages that are preached thereafter. What was it? It was those mysteries that had been loosed, that were being revealed. But now watch, Brother Branham says, God has a way of revealing and keeping things hid. He says, he hides it. Jesus said, he hides it from the wise, the eyes of the wise and prudent, and reveals it unto babes. There was many friends that sat there in those meetings from March of 63 through December of 65. And actually, even though the word was being opened, there was not many that actually caught what all was going on. Do you know why? Because they still had their eyes on God had a prophet there. But Brother Branham said there in the seventh seal, he said, now, if I'm the one to introduce him, he said, then when he comes, then as John said, he must increase and I must decrease. He says, Brother Branham says, then when he comes, he said, then I'll have to decrease. So that's why God had to take the prophet off the scene. But then for years, from 1965 on up to actually almost the early 80s, everybody was still preaching God sent a prophet. I mean, yeah, they preached on Godhead, they preached on water baptism, preached on things. But nobody, look, friends, I remember as a young boy sitting at a table and you know, this happened, I was, you know, only child back then at that time, and I was the son of a preacher and that, so sometimes I got in situations and things, you know, where maybe normal, most kids wouldn't have, but I was sitting at this table, and there's a bunch of preachers all sitting at this table, and I was listening to them, and, you know, I was listening to them with the child's mind, but when they were talking about the third pool, in my mind, I kept thinking they were talking about a P-O-O-L, not a P-U-L-L. I didn't know what the third pool was. So I was, but my mind was on, and they were all talking about, what could it be? And I remember them talking about, I remember some of the ones that actually were sitting around the table there. One was a Brother Ned Iverson. It was from down there, I think, in Georgia somewhere. And there was our pastor and my dad and some other ministers and that sitting around, and they were all talking about the third pool, when the third pool comes, and what is it? But nobody was talking about the opening of the word. They were all speculating on what the third pool was. Now, when you read in the message and find out that Brother Branham actually says it very plain and says, he says all these other things about the manifestation of the third pool. But then he comes down and he says the third pool was the opening of the word. It was the opening of those seals. Yeah, there were manifestations. of the third pool. The little fish, give him back its life. The squirrel spoke into existence. The Hattie Wright speaking at her house. You know, Brother Branham speaking to the storm. What was that, though? What was that? That was God that had come down and had masked himself in his prophet and speaking creative word. But that wasn't where that's not where God intended it to stay. God intended it to actually come into his bride. Now, how was God going to do that? You say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit come down, you get the Holy Ghost. God wanted more than just that. God wanted the revelation of who he was. Listen, Jehovah, it means one who reveals himself. God wanted to reveal himself not on paper, not on tapes. God wanted to reveal himself in human flesh again. The creative word being spoke through you. And you know, of course, I've heard people talk about, well, you know, when that third pool comes, you know, we'll be able to, people that won't have, maybe they'll be missing an arm, we'll be able to speak them an arm. We'll be able to, you know, speak food into existence. I've heard all kinds of things. None of those things really stir me. I don't want to get too far into what I'm getting ready to say, because we'll get more and more into that when we go further into this second book of Corinthians. But, friend, we're going to speak a body. Not only that, friends, but look, where do you think that voice of resurrection comes from? The voice of resurrection is God. It's from God, but where does it come from? The bride. Brother Branham said that God would, that the word of God would be so to perfection in his bride that it would literally pull the dead in Christ up out of the ground. God veiled in you today. Look, friends, look at what all God has revealed to us. Brother, I found this in the message of Things That Are to Be, 1965. Brother Ram was talking about what at one time a lot of people's concept of what heaven was. And he said, you know, they had a conception that, you know, you were going to be up on a cloud somewhere with a harp or something. Brother Ram said, that's not heaven. He said, look, heaven is as real as what this is right here. He said, it's real. It's a real place, just the same as this is a real place. And he says, we don't sit up here for eternity, just sit on a cloud, strum a harp. But we're going to a real place where we're going to do real things. Where we're going to work. I don't say, I've never heard this before. I went through this message and that, but that one little sentence right there, 1, 2, 3, 4 words, we're going to work. We're going to enjoy. We're going to live. We're going to have a life that's a real eternal life. We're going to a heaven, a paradise, just like Adam and Eve worked and lived and eat and enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before sin came in. We're on our road back there again, right back. The first Adam through sin took us out. The second Adam through righteousness brings us back again and justifies us and brings us back to that again. Now look, you know, sometimes the things that's been revealed to us that we have understanding of, sometimes I think we kind of take it for granted. That we just feel like, well, you know, all Christians know this. No, they don't. I've had relatives that have talked to me, you know, and they're not in this message. They're in the denominations and that, you know. And they've thought, and they, you know, and I've had them ask, you know, what is heaven really like? They don't really have a revelation of what the rapture is. I remember as a kid, I was in my grandfather's house, and I remember he always had this picture hanging up on his wall. He was in one of them old, today we call it antique frames, you know, with the glass that kind of bailed out on it a little bit, you know, and it was and that picture up there, what it showed a scene that I guess was supposed to be the rapture. And it showed like, it looked like ghost-like beings going up, you know. And it showed graves splitting open. It showed, you know, and things wrecking and crashing and all this, you know. Well, it's very plain in the Word, but you know, why do we know about it in this age? It's because God sent a prophet. And Brother Branham said, the sudden secret going away of the church. That's the rapture. No man knows the day nor hour. And friends, look, the rapture, do you realize the rapture is going to take place? And there's going to be people that claim to be Christians that aren't even going to know what happened. They got no revelation of really what it is. Look, there's many of them I've talked, they ask me questions. Jerry, you know, what kind of body, what kind of body are we going to have? Well, will I still know my daddy? Will my daddy still know me? They're serious. Will we still be husband and wife? See, these things have been revealed to us. We take it for granted that everybody knows that. But they don't. Friends, this is God who has been revealing himself to this bride. Look, friends, he's revealing himself to those who are actually going to take that rapture. And there's going to be a body change. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Friends, look, when somebody dies, I really don't want to get too much into it. They go into a form. They're in a form. It's a theophany body. But what is a theophany body? A theophany body is it's not like a flesh and blood body. There. Brother Branham, you know, of course, it's been revealed to us as Brother God took his prophet beyond the curtain of time. And they're there now. They don't need to eat. They don't need to sleep. But they haven't received their glorified bodies yet. What in that theophany, it's not the theophany that's actually going to be what you're walking around in the time of the millennium. You're going to be walking around in flesh and blood. It's just not going to be like, it's just going to be this flesh and blood is condemned. It's death. But we'll have new bodies. Look, friends, we know that the rapture is taking us up to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you realize there are still many professed Christians that believe that you actually got to go through the tribulation period? And some of them actually are even preparing for it. Look what God, how God has revealed himself to us. We're not stumbling around looking through a glass darkly. Brother Branham, let me tell this and we'll close. Brother Branham says, he was talking about us being written epistles, read all men. And he says this in the message of We Would See Jesus. He gives this example. He's talking about epistles read of all men. And he says, look, he says, let me tell you a little story. He said, there was this little boy, and said, the little boy asked his mother, he said, Mommy, if God is so great, can anybody see him? And his mom said, I don't know, said, you need to ask the preacher. And so the pastor came over, and so he asked the pastor, said, you know, if God is so great, can anybody see him? And the pastor said to him, no, nobody can see God, son. And he asked his Sunday school teacher, if God's so great, can anybody see him? And the Sunday school teacher said, no, nobody can see God. And so there was an elderly man that lived there, and this little boy had went out in his boat with him fishing. And while they were out fishing, you know, the old man's looking around, and tears start rolling down his cheeks, and he's just looking around at everything, you know. And the little boy sees this, and the old man acting away, and he said, look, I got a question for you. He said, I've asked my mommy and my pastor, my Sunday school teacher. He said, if God's so great, can anybody see him? And the old man said, son, that's all I've been seeing for the last 40 years is God. He said, God bless your little heart. I've seen him for the past 40 years has been God. He said, when God gets on the inside of you, then you can see him. But you can't see him until he gets inside to look out through your eyes. We see God in this age, in this day. And friends, look, the prophet's been took off the scene. And look, I want you to realize, I'm not taking anything away from Brother Branham or him being a prophet or what he was sent here to do or what God did through him and that, you know, nothing. But what I'm saying is, God took him from the scene, but God, that God that was here and spoke for him, didn't leave. Because his purpose wasn't just to be in his prophet. His purpose was to be in his bride as a whole. Look on the day of Pentecost. His purpose wasn't just to be in the 12 disciples. There was 120 of them that went up there in the upper room and received his spirit. Come down out of there and the way they were talking and they were acting and everything, and Peter said, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoke of by the prophet Joel. Right. It was God coming into, look, God's purpose wasn't just to come and remain here in the form of Jesus Christ. He came here in the form of Jesus Christ for one thing. To die for you. That you could be freed from your sins so that he could come back and live in you. Listen to this, friends. You know, in the writings of the prophets and even King David, they talk about the Holy Spirit. They talk about the Spirit of God. They talk about the Spirit of God coming down. But I want you to realize something. He couldn't actually come down inside of them. Why? Because the supreme sacrifice to free man from sin hadn't been made yet. We're free from sin. And that's why Jesus came. Not so God could remain here in the form of Jesus Christ, but so that he could die to pay the price of redemption, to get that book back, to redeem man so that he could come and live in man. You want to see Jesus Christ? Look in the mirror. That's what Paul's talking about. We with open faces, behold as if in a glass. Look at your brothers and sisters around you. Look, friends, I want you to realize something. Now, I want you to think about this, and we're going to close. You think about all of the individuals that actually have a knowledge that God sent a prophet. They've actually got a knowledge that God sent a message. But they won't ever come and submit to it. They won't ever come and submit to God and actually have a relationship with him so that he can live in them. But I'm going to tell you something. This is what they're going to be judged by. They're going to be judged because that God was living in right in their midst through you. You are a written epistle. You're the opening of the word, Brother Ham said, that lives. Not just an opening of understanding, but the word that lives. What are they going to do when the church is gone? Oh, I can't go there because of the preacher. I can't go there because of this one. I can't go there because of that one. What are you going to do when there's nobody here? There's coming a day when this building will still be here, but you and I won't be. What are they going to do then? I'm not saying this to lash out. I'm not saying this to put anybody down. I'm not actually trying to say this, trying to pronounce judgment on people. It's sad. But now, right now, look at how God lives in your life. Look at how he has changed you. Not just that he called you from your life of sin and you started coming to church, But look how you've grown in the Lord. Look at your life. Look at what the things that has changed in your life because of what? The Word. Look, friends, God's purpose of having this church here isn't so you can just come and hear me say some good things. It's so that what God comes down and speaks and what's preached actually comes and lives in you. And how does that happen? Simply because you believe it. And you receive it. And then you live it. But now look. People that say they don't want to come here because they point at this one and that one or whatever. Why are they doing that? Because the God that's in you is still hid to them. Because what they keep looking at is your old badger skin. They can't see past the flesh veil. Look, friends, if you walked around here perfect, that wouldn't be much of a mystery, would it? How God could veil himself in you. But how can God veil himself in this imperfect flesh? It's because there's something perfect on the inside. And that's your soul. That ought to make you realize the times that I say, look, I'm not so concerned with the flesh. I'm more concerned with the soul. Because, friends, this flesh ain't going to make it anyhow. This flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Remember, I guess I just give you a prayer request for a man that works for Mina, and he'd been diagnosed with this brain cancer, you know, that's terminal and he's got him and his wife, they're just in their mid to late 40s. I think he's 47 years old and they've got five grandchildren that they adopted. They got a daughter that's got her life all so messed up that they had to take these five grandchildren in, and they adopted him, and now, you know, here he's got terminal, and so, you know, here, you know, she's going to be left all on her own with these children, and honestly, you know, the age where they're at, you know, most time you wouldn't even be raising kids anymore. You'd had your kids already raised, you know, and then remember Will in prayer. He's still out of town working. That's why he isn't here tonight. He got sent over in North Carolina before that storm came in here, you know, the week actually before the storm coming in. And then he was over there, and then they had the prediction of that storm coming in that Sunday, you know. And they told him to stay over there. And he's still over there. So just remember him in your prayers. I know he's missing everybody here, missing being in service, and the Lord will bring him back. Amen. Remember one another in prayer. Amen. And remember Brother Todd. You know, Brother Todd, he got laid off from his job. And so he needs the Lord to help him get a new job. So remember him in prayer. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer now to dismiss. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for coming, Lord, tonight and speaking to us in the way that you did. And we, Lord, ask you to bless your people now, dear God, and bless them this week, the remainder of it, dear God, and bring us back at the appointed time on Sunday, Father. We pray to hear from you. And we give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.